Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. What's required of us when the Lord speaks to us? Does the Lord speak to us? What happens when we hear and listen to His voice? Those questions we'll answer today in today's Wake Up Call 074. Today, if you will hear His voice, this is the Faith for My Generation podcast, and I'm your host, AJ. I'm so glad that you're watching and that you're listening, and we're going to go straight to the scripture today. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and you know, sometimes on the wake-up calls on these podcast episodes, of course, every Monday we're getting a brand new wake-up call. And on Thursdays, we're also releasing teachings. Right now, we're in a series on humility, so make sure that you tune in for those teachings on humility. Not to spoil it or any, you know, give any spoilers away, but after that, we're going to go straight into a teaching on a series on pride. There's just no way to get around teaching about one without the other. So make sure tuning in on those episodes on Thursday. Those are audio-only podcasts. So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, go check out faithformygeneration.com, and you can see all the platforms that the audio podcast is available on: Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, all that. But as I was saying before I went on a little bit of an advertising tangent for the podcast, these wake-up calls, sometimes we look at people, heroes of the faith. Sometimes we'll look at a theme or an idea. And we take scripture, sometimes different references, working our way through different points in scripture, because the Bible is harmonious with itself. It does not contradict itself ever. And then sometimes we read a chunk of scripture and work our way through it. That's what we're going to do today. Starting in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Brethren, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For you, having heard, rebelled. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for as he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it. Those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. After such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, that he would not afterward have spoken of another day, There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. That is Hebrews 3, verse 7, all the way through Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. What we have here in the book of Hebrews is a teaching and an admonishment, a warning to you and I, believers, Christians, to have our hearts and the ear of our heart opened to the voice of God. It says, as you called it, three different times, the same exact phrase. Now, I'm reading through just close to finishing up Hebrews. Just started it in my daily Bible reading just a day or two ago. When I'm reading through this, I notice I've read Hebrews before, and I've read bits and pieces of it, of a large commentative work, a commentary by Andrew Murray entitled The Holiest of All. It's a verse-by-verse commentary, rather not verse-by-verse. It's a devotional take on the book of Hebrews. So sometimes he takes a phrase out of a verse and then opens it up over two or three pages. It's absolutely wonderful. If you're interested in the book of Hebrews, that's a great place to start. The Holiest of All by Andrew Murray. I've read bits and pieces of that commentary work, depending on what I'm studying in Hebrews, and I've read what he had to say about this section. And so I've read this before, but again, when I'm reading through this passage in my Bible a few days ago, I see that once more, that this phrase, this warning, is spoken three times in a row. The Lord felt it necessary to inspire the author of Hebrews, which I believe to be Paul, to write down this phrase, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now, the phrase, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, that's used three times. Two times it has that last portion, as in the rebellion. So let's give some context to this warning, and then let's talk about it. So the first thing for us to properly understand what's going on here in Hebrews, in the book of Exodus 17, when the children of Israel are freed from the slavery and captivity of Egypt and that bondage that they were in for 400 years, they come out of Egypt, and of course, they don't make it very far before they hit the Red Sea, just a day or so journey. At that point, Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt, they've decided, you know what, we're not going to let the people of God go. We're actually going to track them down and kill them. Some time had set in. The firstborn son of every family in Egypt's dead. Their nation is decimated. Their livestock, their crops, homes destroyed. All their wealth, they gave it to the Israelites because they just wanted them to leave as quick as possible. So they've been ransacked, and not one sword was raised. It's an amazing thing. When God fights your battles, you're going to win every time. And when God fights your battles, you won't have to raise a sword. He will turn events to your good, and it will be greater than what you could win if you try to fight in your own power. It's an amazing thing when God fights your battles. Well, unfortunately, even after they see the splitting of the Red Sea so that they can travel through on dry ground, think about it, that's a miracle. It's a miracle to have the sea split. It's another miracle for the sea to split and the ground that the water was sitting upon to immediately dry up so that they could walk through. I mean, you know, say there's a couple million Israelites walking through this seabed. If it's mud, I mean, they're going to, you know, you ever walk through like swampy mud, you know, every time that foot gets stuck in there, you're pulling it out and trudging through. They would have never made it. And it's a nation. It's not just 20 and 30-year-old, you know, athletes running through this seabed. It's children. It's grandmothers and grandfathers. It's maybe people that, you know, may not be as strong as other folks. It's mules and donkeys and camels. They're carrying stuff and pulling wagons. It's a nation. So they walk over on dry ground. That's a miracle. Third miracle, God uses the very sea that was in their way and blocking them to go to the path they were supposed to go toward the promised land. He uses that as a weapon against Pharaoh and his armies and destroys their armies in just one fell swoop. So they see this mighty, mighty victory. Well, they go a few, they've been journeying at this point probably more than likely a few weeks. They're not that far from the promised land. If they keep the faith, they'll be in the promised land within, you know, just a month or two from leaving Egypt. It's really not that far. Something happens. They get thirsty. It's amazing. The people of Israel, the things they murmured about probably the most was, what are we going to eat and what are we going to drink? You know, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, how civilized or uncivilized you are, what type of life you live or lifestyle you choose to live. I mean, you know, as far as like how elegant or how well off you might be in lifestyle. The reality is every human needs to know what they're going to eat and drink and where they're going to sleep. And without knowing those things or having access to those things, it makes life very hard. So they get thirsty. And what do? They murmur. They complain. Something changes on their heart turns against Moses and the Lord. So they're murmuring, and they come up to Moses in verse 2 of Exodus 17. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for the water, and people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." So these Israelites, they're upset. They're not just like, I'm a little thirsty. I need just a little bit of water to parch my thirst, you know. No, they're about to kill Moses. So the Lord tells Moses, "Go on up before the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel. Take in your hand a rod which you struck the river," verse 6, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink." So Moses did in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So this first instance takes place at the beginning of what will become a 40-year journey. If you continue to read, you'll hit Numbers chapter 12, where they get close to going into the promised land, and they doubt God and His word. They send spies into the land to spy out the land, and those 12 spies come back. If you're not familiar with the story, go read it. Numbers 13 and 14. They send out 12 spies. Two of them are Joshua and Caleb. They're men of faith. But the other 10, we don't even know their names. Maybe you can find their names in a list somewhere. But I don't know them off the top of my head. I don't remember their names because they're men of doubt and unbelief. When they come back, all 12 spies give the same report by saying this: "Yes, it is a beautiful land. Yes, it has a land flowing with milk and honey. It is as good as God says it is. Yes, they're giants. Yes, they're strong, big, big, huge walls. But this is where the report, one turns evil and one is righteous." The righteous report is Joshua and Caleb say, "And we can take these giants out of the land by the power of God? No problem. Let's go right now and do it. Let's not even think about it." The evil report from the 10 spies, who we don't even remember their names, they say, "We can't do what God said we can do." And what entered into them, and they brought fear and unbelief, and it entered into the nation of Israel. Their report, 10 men gave a report, and it turned a nation against God in unbelief. You know what? It is so important that you discern and have good judgment as to who you're listening to and what you're listening to. Because one evil report can destroy you. One lying, deceiving report that doesn't put faith in God, but rather what it can see, taste, touch, feel, sense, can destroy you. You better be careful that you're listening to the voice of God and not another voice. Because these 10 spies turn an entire nation against God in unbelief. Well, for the Lord, that was enough. Because at this point, they've already murmured and complained and doubted God. And as we saw in Exodus 17, they said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You mean to tell me you're going to doubt God? He just split open the Red Sea and used that sea as a weapon against Pharaoh's armies. You've been crying out to the Lord 400 years in slavery, and He sets you free. He sends a deliverer with the power of God to display miracles, signs, and wonders. 10 different plagues come against the nation that's held you captive. You're now free, and the nation that was trying to get you is dead, floating in the Red Sea. And you're going to ask the question. You're going to be so brash and so prideful to say, "Well, is God with us or not?" Because you're thirsty. Cannot the God who split the Red Sea give you water to drink? That should have been their heart, right? Well, if you go to Numbers chapter 20, at the end of that 40-year period, because God tells them in Numbers 14, "Look, this generation that has turned their heart from me and against me in unbelief and in doubt, I refuse to allow them to enter into my rest, enter into the promised land. You're going to march around in the wilderness until this generation of unbelievers dies off." That's why the people of Israel march around the wilderness for 40 years. It's a waiting game, so that the people of the unbelieving generation will die. When Christian, look, this is, I'm just going to, if you say this, quit saying it. Don't say it anymore. But there's some Christians I've heard say this, "Well, I guess I'm just in my wilderness season." To which anybody who can read the Bible should say, "Repent." Brother, I guess I'm just in my wilderness season right now. The Lord just has me in a wilderness season. The children of Israel were marching around in the wilderness because they had sinned against God, and God had forced them to walk around in circles till they died. You might think, "Well, that's pretty harsh." It is. But it wasn't because like a one-off mistake, quote unquote. It was after a dozen different times of sinning against God as a nation. This generation had proven themselves to be doubters and unbelievers. And that is such an offense to God to doubt and come before Him in unbelief. Unbelief is an offense to God. May we never, ever walk in unbelief, but have our hearts turned toward Him always and continually. Well, at the end of this 40-year journey, Moses, he sins against the Lord as well. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 2, "Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron." So here it is, about 40 years later. Not quite, but almost. And they're thirsty again. And they still have unbelief. And what do? This time, you would think what they would learn from the first time. Hey, God brought them water when Moses struck the rock of Horeb. Wanting they just ask God for water. But no, they haven't changed. They didn't repent. They didn't change. They're still exactly the same way. They come against Moses and Aaron. "And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, 'If we'd only died with our brethren before the Lord, why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here?'" Now, they're saying the same thing that they said years ago. And it didn't happen then. It won't happen now. But they have unbelief in their heart, so that it's turned them bitter. Unbelief will turn you bitter toward the Lord. Don't allow unbelief to creep into your heart. Verse 5, "And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates? Nor is there any water to drink?" Comparing it to Egypt. "Moses, you've brought us here, and it was so much better in Egypt. There are some people that will not let go of the past, even though the future that God has promised them is so much greater. And this unbelieving generation of Israelites that have yet to completely die off, there's still some of them here. There's still enough of them here to remind Moses, we had it good in Egypt. I can't believe you brought us out here to die. It's like, my goodness, it'd be one thing for the first time, but you've been doing this year after year after year after year. No wonder God wants you to die in the wilderness. He's tired of you complaining. It's my goodness, may we never be that person. Don't hold on to some Christians do that. Don't do this. I say this with love. Some Christians want to make their testimony about serving the Lord like, man, I had it good when I was living in the world. I had all this going for me and all this, but I gave it up for Jesus. Let me tell you something. You could have owned the whole world, but if you were on your way to hell, you didn't have it good. I don't care if you had a scholarship to play ball here or there, or making this kind of money or this amount of friends or fame or whatever. It's like, give me a break. You have been saved and redeemed from the miry pit of sin and hell. I don't care what you had going on for you prior to it coming to Christ. You've got it better now. Don't allow Satan to make you feel like you used to have it good, but now I'm just trudging through this life for Jesus. No, we are victors in Christ, not victims. And we're marching forth in faith knowing that what I have with Christ is a million times better than what I had without Him. Absolutely. Because some people, they'll say, well, I wish I was still in Egypt, man. Woo. Yeah, I was a slave. I was getting beat every day. I had to work every day. Probably would have got killed well before my time to die because I did something wrong and abused and hurt and malnourished and beaten up and, had to work out in the sun all day and literally be slaving away for someone else, then come home and try to have some sort of family life. But we had food to eat and water to drink. My. Verse 6, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation, the animals, drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow or make holy me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. So here's the second time where Moses brings water out of a rock by the power of God. The second time, as we read, the Lord commanded him to speak to the rock. Moses disobeyed. Rather, he struck the rock twice. The water still came out, but he did it the wrong way. What's interesting is if when you read about this rock of Horeb, this rock is a representation of Christ Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, 1 Peter, the book of Psalms, there's several times, Isaiah and Psalms are prophecies, 1 Peter's a teaching, tells us that Christ Jesus, he is the rock of our salvation. He is this rock. And he is, says that Jesus is the cornerstone by which the church is built on. The book of Ephesians tells us that. And then in 1 Peter it tells us that he's this cornerstone. I think Psalms 118 is the reference in the Old Testament. But the rock of Horeb represents Christ Jesus. He is a rock in the wilderness that brings forth water, that brings forth life. What's interesting is the connection is made when you read in like commentaries about that in the book of Hebrews of what we read in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, or in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we cannot crucify Christ afresh in Hebrews chapter 6. And it's referring to someone, it's called apostasy. Now, apostasy is a real thing, and plainly what it means is, it is someone who has once believed in Jesus as Lord, but they have walked away from God, and not just backslid, as the book of Jeremiah would call it. They have went to a place of no return. And this is a real thing. Some Christians may disagree with the Bible on this, but this is a real, honest-to-goodness thing that can happen and has happened. People have tasted and seen the goodness of God, but they actually turned from their faith in Jesus and go to a place of no return. Now, that is not every person that walks away from God. And that's not every person that backslides or gets out of fellowship with the Lord. There's many people in my younger years. I grew up in a Christian home, put my faith in Jesus, but there was a time where I was not living for the Lord. And I had to repent and come back to God. Maybe you've experienced that. I pray not. I pray your testimony is you've always walked with the Lord and never turned back. But that is called repentance. And that's saying, Lord, I know I'm not right. I'm not in right fellowship with you. I'm practicing sin. I should not do that. The Bible tells us in 1 John that those that practice sin are not of God. So I'm not in relationship or fellowship with you. I'm being convicted. I need to get my heart right and cleansed before you. I need to repent and confess of these sins. I know it's wrong, yet I do it. So you repent, you get right back with the Lord. You come up out of that dominion of sin. Apostasy is when someone says, I'm done, I'm out, it's over, I have no faith in Christ, and I refuse to believe in Jesus. And that's when Hebrews 6 tells us, well then, if they refuse to believe in Christ, what other sacrifice is there available? If you're not going to believe in Jesus, there's nothing left for you to believe for salvation. Well, Hebrews chapter 3, what we read in this opening portion, this opening monologue of this podcast, is that today, if you'll hear His voice, and do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. What we read in Exodus 17, Numbers 20, are two different examples of several types or several instances of rebellion of the people of Israel that caused them to bring judgment upon themselves until that generation had died off and a new generation, Joshua and Caleb's generation, rises up to take the promised land. And it so greatly worked itself through the people of Israel that even Moses and Aaron, in unbelief, don't speak to the rock in Horeb. Even the second time, Moses has already struck the rock once. You can't strike the rock twice. Same way with Christ. Christ has already died on the cross. There's no other thing He's going to do. Everything that has been made available to us from God is made available by way of the cross of Christ and the finished work of the cross. You don't need to strike the rock again. Rather, we confess. We speak by faith. We receive by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth that which Christ has done and has provided for us. Because here's the thing. If you do not allow your heart to be hardened, you'll hear the voice of God. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. See, that's the choice every single one of us have. We all have this choice. Will we believe what God has said to us? And there's all different, we're all at different relationships with the Lord. You and me, we're all at different places with the Lord. You and me, we all have things that we're constantly being refined and conformed and learning from the Lord and being perfected. Every one of us, we're all growing at different rates and different levels and in different areas. We all have a personal relationship with Jesus. But the reality is, every one of us, we're being spoken to. God is speaking to us by way of His Word and the Holy Ghost, and we have a choice. Will we hear and believe, or will we hear and harden our hearts? Because when we hear the voice of God and harden our hearts, we turn from God, it is an act of disobedience and it's unbelief. Hebrews 3, verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." See, this is a warning to you and me as Christians. How do I know that? One, it's in the Bible. Two, verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren." Anytime you see in the New Testament, brethren, it's speaking to you and me, members of the body of Christ, members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren. And then verse 13 commands us to exhort one another. Exhort means to encourage. The Bible never instructs sinners to encourage one another. What is a sinner going to encourage another sinner to do other than sin? Maybe when you were dead in sin, you encouraged some other people to sin. Come on, drink with me. Come on, you know, hook up weekends, you know, whatever. Encouraging. No, the Bible only commands believers to encourage and exhort one another. So you and I as Christians, we are to beware, be on the lookout for an evil heart of unbelief. Because an evil heart of unbelief causes us to depart from the living God. Rather, we are to encourage one another daily while it is yet called today. See, faith lives in today. Testimonies, I've mentioned this before in a previous episode, testimonies, they are for the past. They live in the past. It gives gives an account of what God has done. Hope is for the future, what you desire to come to pass. That's for the future. Faith is today. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 12, today is the day of salvation. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now. See, salvation is only powerful in your life if it's a today experience. If salvation is something you once did, oh, I prayed a prayer and got baptized 23 years ago. That's not a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was just a particular act, and I pray that it was genuine, and I pray that it has grown from then. But if salvation for you was something you did many years ago, and I hope it stuck, I would say beware of an evil heart of unbelief. And I would encourage you to live by faith today so that you would not have your heart hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because when we hear God's voice, we have a choice. Will we believe or will we not believe? Hebrews 4:2, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them." Who's the them? These Israelites who came out of Egyptian bondage, who time and time again murmured and complained against God, who had an evil heart of unbelief, who fell for the deception of sin. They had the gospel preached to them. Notice this, "But the word which they heard did not profit them." The same word of God that they heard, that you and I have heard, did them no good. Why did it do them no good? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. One manuscript reads this way, "Since they were not united by faith with those who heeded it." This idea that's in verse 2 of Hebrews 4, the idea of what you hear, the gospel that you hear, the word of God that you hear, you must mix it with faith for it to produce power. The Greek language there, that the imagery that the Greek language in this verse gives has to do with, we're going to have a little bit of a biology lesson here in the last few minutes of this wake-up call. It has to do, it gives you the imagery of your digestive system. Now, hold on for a second. You're going to be like, I don't know about that. That's not very anointed. When you eat something, you know, when you get done eating lunch, let's say you're eating pizza. That's one of my favorite foods, by the way. I love pizza. You're eating pizza. You chew it up. You chew that pizza up, enjoy the taste of that pizza. That's the part we probably like the most, is how it tastes. We probably are more concerned about how it tastes than how it actually benefits us, at least, you know, with desserts and things. Man, you know, you're not eating ice cream because it has vitamin D in it. You're eating it because it tastes good. So you chew it up, then you swallow that food that you've chewed. It then goes down into your belly. And I don't know all the technical terms, but I know it gets down to your belly. In your belly, there are digestive juices. And those digestive juices begin to break down that food that you have chewed up. And those juices mix with that food and break up that food and dissolve that food into nutrition, fats, proteins, carbohydrates. And then your body will then send those macronutrients and those vitamins and minerals and everything that's in food, calories, all these different things that make up food. It begins to send those resources throughout your body where you might need it. If your digestive system does not properly break down the food you eat, it will cause you sickness. It can cause you to rapidly lose weight. You know, someone that's constantly vomiting, what's happening? They may be eating food, but it's not staying in them long enough for it to benefit them. It comes right back up. And if they get a sickness where they're constantly vomiting, they'll die. They'll lose so much fluid, so much nutrition, so much water that they'll die. That's what's being projected here in that imagery of the language of the Greek in verse 2. When you hear the word of God, if it is not mixed with faith and digested and received, it has no power. So you and I have an opportunity today. Will we harden our hearts to the voice of God, or will we happily listen to what God is speaking to us? Because the reality is, you and I as believers, we have a covenant blessing and right and privilege to hear the voice of God. Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, in Romans chapter 8, we see that's just one of many places where we see in the New Testament that the Lord is speaking to us by the Holy Ghost. And he speaks to us through his word. Because after all, if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, anything he says to you will always be backed up by the word of God, and vice versa. So the Lord's speaking to you today. The Lord is speaking to me today. The choice we have, will we receive it? Will we believe it? Will we avoid hardening our hearts so that we may never have an evil heart of unbelief and fall for the deception of sin? May we never murmur and complain and rebel against God in unbelief. And I know that we won't. And I pray that we won't. Let me pray for you as we finish up this wake-up call. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every single person that's watching and listening. Lord, we want our hearts completely turned towards you, filled with faith. We want our hearts, Lord, to be so overflowing with faith that when we hear your word and we hear your voice, our heart leaps for joy rather than hardening itself. Lord, if there be any hard places in our heart, even now, soften them, God, by the instruction of your word, by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, by the moving and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I'm thankful for you for watching and listening. If you would share this episode by text, just copy the link and text it to a friend. Say, hey, I think you'll enjoy listening to this. When you do that, it really helps me. If you've enjoyed watching and listening to this, make sure you like, subscribe, follow, all those things that, keep you connected with the Faith for My Generation podcast. And I know this, you and I, when we hear the voice of God, we will not harden our hearts, but rather we will happily receive the instruction of the voice of God, because we are the faithful. And I'll see you next time. God bless you. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you.
And every Thursday, I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.